The Lord is in control. Amen?
Amen.
Say, I have eyes to see. I have ears that hear. And my heart perceives what your Spirit is revealing to me. Amen? We're going on a journey. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. I would say that if you're smart, you would read the beginning of this chapter because it speaks about do not believe every spirit. So there are times that you are going to be, let's say, tested and make sure you test the spirits. And that's pretty clear. And but we're going to verse 7. It speaks in a heading at the NIV, God's love and ours. God's love and ours. He says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So that's kind of a signal. Those who know and love him are going to be known by him. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live. And if you don't have this in your Bible, I'd suggest you put the word in there. Through him. Through. T-H-R-O-U-G-H. And I want to concentrate as you live in the anointing. You're living through him. As you live on your own level, where you're in control, what have you got?
Flesh,
exactly. Verse 10 says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. What's the word atoning mean? Well, forgiveness, yeah, you see, it's a higher level than just forgiven. It's really taking all the guilt away.
Isn't it more like a sacrifice?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, when you atone for someone of their debt, let's say that I borrowed $3 million from you, and you decide that you want to wipe the slate clean.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? So I'm going to be looking in, how am I going to pay this woman back? Well, you've atoned for me for my debt. That's what Jesus did for us. He's atoned. He's paid the price. He's canceled our debt. He even called himself the Jubilee. I am the Jubilee. Anybody from Jewish background would know that at Jubilee, everything is wiped away. And you're restored to your family tree, your family farm, your home, the property you own. It all comes back to you. And it is yours to keep. Yes, we are. We're heading for it right now. And everybody's got doom and gloom on their hearts, and I've got a celebration on my heart. You know why? I was reminding someone earlier today, tonight, when a test was given to Egypt. God gave a dream to the Pharaoh. He's not a believer now, let's face it. in prison. Did you ever feel like you were in prison? And he has the ability to interpret dreams. He's been rotting in jail thinking, oh my God, there's no hope for me. But God says, I've got a plan. Joseph, cool it. Chill out, man. And overnight, he's the second in command under Pharaoh. He even gives him this signet ring, which means he can sign checks. Pretty good stuff for a guy who was in prison. And he had a real horrible nightmare of a life. Then he marries this beautiful Egyptian woman, some priest's daughter. I mean, think about it. Do you think that they were thinking of putting him back in jail? Who atoned for his offense? He just got out of jail. Who paid the price for what he did? Who absolved all of his bad behavior that he was accused of? That it was false, but he was still accused. Pharaoh, of course. Okay? Can God give a dream to the guy who owes you bad things that were done to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who can atone for that?
Well, Jesus really already has.
Yeah, he did it. But I'm trying to make it real to you for today. So that you don't walk around accusing yourself when the atonement and the sacrifice has already been paid. And we've got Christians walking around, oh, it's a poor day. If you only knew what he paid to keep you and get you to be free. To keep you and get you to be free. You see, getting you to be free is necessary for you to start confessing and declaring your freedom. A few weeks ago, I gave you a list. An alignment, and then a list of things that you are in him. Now I'm telling you, you got to live through him, which is another level. And not to be discouraged about why he paid that sacrifice and the atoning ability of it. If you look at it again, this is love, verse 10. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Clear? Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, I've got this person that's angry with me. How should I treat him?
With love.
Yeah, either they don't deserve it because Jesus already set me free. If Jesus sets you and me free, it doesn't give us a right to hold bondage over someone else. I mean, has anybody ever irritated you where you wanted to wring their necks? Both hands.
Feet, arms.
Arms. Yeah. Until you look at the Son of God, who did nothing wrong, and he allowed himself to be crucified for us. That takes all of the steam out of your engine. And it gives you a heads up. Did I not forgive you yours? And you have to answer, yes, he did. Verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete by the neighbor. His love is made complete in me and in you. Now, how do I start this when I'm full of anger against myself?
I forgive him.
You know who the last person is that I forgave?
me.
Yourself.
Yeah. And every single person holds these incredible rules and regulations from religion. And I'm not blaming any one particular, but that's what they said. If you did bad, you got what?
Punished.
Punished. If you did good, you got a blessing. Right? Now, the scripture is saying very clearly here that the Holy Spirit covered every one of our mistakes. And as soon as we said yes to Jesus, everything is forgiven. The atoning is already paid for. He's already paid for everything we've ever done wrong. And that includes what you did wrong tomorrow. What you may do wrong next month. As long as you declare, I am free. I live in Him and He lives in me. His love radiates through me. Now, what if you're angry with yourself?
Get over it.
Huh?
Get over it.
Oh! Anybody heard her advice? Tell your neighbor, if you're angry with yourself,
get over it.
Get over it. Why?
Because that's a prison in itself.
That's a prison in itself. People lose their ability to function as men and women because they are so angry at themselves because their body misbehaved in some way. Yeah. Now, your body always behaves, but mine didn't.
Well, that comes down to the same principle where God says to forgive.
Yeah.
You know, He doesn't tell you to forgive for their sake, for your own. And if you can't forgive yourself, then all you're doing is adding on to...
You go around a circle of guilt and condemnation. But I want to go to verse 13. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. When we recognize that He's given of His Holy Spirit as a deposit in us, we have the ability to conquer whatever it is that our soul is troubled by. And every single man and woman, every young man and every young woman, every young boy, every young girl, all of us have the accuser on our case. That's what the beginning of this chapter is all about. The accusing voices are going to be there, and they're going to accuse you, and they're going to criticize you. They're going to find fault with you. And you need to be able to say, hey, wait a minute. Jesus is my atonement. He paid with His life. His sacrifice covered every mistake for every man, woman, and child who believes in Him. So again, I want you to repeat. Say, Lord Jesus,
I know
that You live in me.
I'm positive.
Because You have given me of Your Spirit. And He lives in me. It's not the spirit of some kind of another God that He released in us. It is His Holy Spirit that He released in us. A few weeks back, or maybe I should say several weeks back, we had a young man that showed up three times. And he came here on a Sunday morning. He was leaving for Puerto Rico. He laid on that floor over there, and the Holy Spirit invaded this young man. And He used some hands from some men that were here to release the Holy Spirit in him. The very next day, on that Monday, he sent me a message. I have never felt like I feel now. I am so incredibly free. I don't even believe that I'm living in this body that normally lives in torment and pain. And I can't say all of what I'm believing that God has done. But I'm absolutely positive that I am feeling better than I've ever felt in my entire life. That deposit of the Holy Spirit in him dramatically changed him. You say, well, why didn't it happen to me? Maybe you didn't carry the load he carried. Ah. Those that have been forgiven much,
which is required,
will love much more. His love for the Lord has changed because he's finally believed why Jesus came to the earth. Why did he come? To set the captives free. Were we aware of our captivity? Absolutely not. Verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. So is he limited? Are you part of the world? If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Either that's the truth or it's a lie. If you've acknowledged that Jesus is who he says he is, God lives in you and you are in him. We are one. When we go to that table and we use those elements that he used for us to get another level of understanding why he gave up his body, Jonathan Kahn is a rabbi. He was brought up in Jewish traditions. And I can remember many years ago the Holy Spirit being on our case, working with this particular group of people. He provided some visions. And when Jonathan Kahn made a comment about Jesus being the Lamb of God, where are lambs born? In a barn, in a field, wherever the shepherds are working with the lambs. Why would the Lord have to be born in Bethlehem? Anybody ever try to figure out why he had to be born in Bethlehem? Huh? It was prophesied, yes, but there was a second reason that every Jew would know.
Isn't that where they went to buy the lamb for the sacrifice?
The atoning sacrificial lamb had to be born in the Bethlehem area because that's where the high priest went to examine. Mm-hmm. And when that baby lamb was born, he was examined at birth. And the scripture says that when Jesus was born, who came first? The shepherds. The angels went to the shepherds. That's why he was born in a stable, because he was represented as a lamb to the entire nation. The shepherds examined him. They said, yes, he's perfect. He's perfect. Hey, he doesn't have any flaws. He's perfect. Wow, great. And Mary held all this information. Do you think she knew and Joseph knew that that particular young man was to be the Lamb of God? Did you think they knew it?
Yes, I do.
I believe she knew it, but I don't think he knew it.
She did.
She did because of the words from the angel. You will carry.
Yeah.
Now, they present the baby. Where do they go? Went to the temple. Yeah, he had to be presented. Was he accepted then? Were there prophets there, male and women?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, all of the Jewish people had to have a head of wood on their heads because they couldn't connect the dots. I don't want to go into a discussion. I want you to catch on of why that the Jews today, some of them are coming alive. Because the Holy Spirit is on their case. The Holy Spirit is trying to wake them up. You've got evidence. King David wasn't stupid. Okay? He knew the Messiah was the one that was going to forgive him. You know, the things that God has prepared for us is so out of this realm. So much greater are His expectations of us than we have of ourselves. He looks at us as awesome as we are, full and completely free of all condemnation. And we are going around trying to hitch hatchets to each other. Finding fault with each other, criticizing ourselves. You don't need anybody else to criticize you. You do it on a regular basis to yourself. It's time you use duct tape against yourself. Okay? I may feel ugly. I may feel this. I may feel that. I don't care what you feel. The word says you what? You're free and you've been atoned for. The sacrificial lamb was already won and he prepared himself a body and he gave it to Dad to pay for your mistakes. That's the bottom line. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. If I can get you to understand one verse, He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That lamb took everything that was wrong with you and me, and he put it on himself.
Amen.
And I'm free. Amen. I can walk in freedom. I can act and react in freedom. And if somebody puts guilt on me, you say, hey, you have a problem. I've already been set free. My Savior paid the price. The lamb paid the price. He paid the price. I don't have to carry guilt and condemnation anymore. I am free. Okay, close your eyes now. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
it's time I have a talk with me.
It's time I have a talk with me.
I am no longer going to criticize your chosen vessel, namely me, that I've got a deposit of your Holy Spirit inside me. I'm holy in His opinion. I'm righteous in His opinion. And I've got no more sin on me. No more guilt on me. No more self-condemnation on me. Jesus is the Lamb that took a few of my sins, and He said, oh, Daddy, that's all I could do. Oh, really? See, your skinny brain. You can limit your sins. Oh my God, well, He took care of these three. Baloney, He took care of it all.
Amen.
Now, correction. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You didn't take some of my sin.
You took them all.
The atoning sacrifice
was you.
On that cross. And from this day forward,
I am free
of self-condemnation. And that includes those in the church. Whether I like them or not. Whether they behave or not. I'm going to love them with the love of God. Without conditions.
Without
criticalness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's all she wrote.